Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Lathrop Village, Michigan, majored in biology at the University of Michigan, where he won the coveted Avery Hopwood Prize for writing as a freshman, and later earning a medical degree from the University of Michigan Medical School. Since 1991, he's been a radiologist in Northern Ohio, and he's the author of 9 Lessons I Learned from My Father. Oh, and one more thing. He's also the youngest son of Mr. and Mrs. Hockey, Gordy and Colleen Howe. His name, Dr. Murray Howe. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Dr. Murray Howe, the author of 9 Lessons I Learned from My Dad. Doctor, welcome. A real honor to have you.
The honor's all mine. Thank you so much, Jack.
Murray, how was it you became a doctor?
Well, it's because I got cut from University of Michigan's hockey team. I dedicated my whole life to being a pro hockey player, just like my dad and brothers, and that's all I wanted to do. And played junior hockey up in Toronto with Gretzky and Paul Coffey, and had Gordie Howe gloves and Gordie Howe stick and all the right equipment, all the right training, but just lacked the talent, the size, the meanness. And so at Michigan, I was cut, and then I thought, wow, what am I going to do with my life? And I loved sciences. I loved math. I loved working with people. And I loved helping out wherever I could. And I thought, wow, being a physician might be a great way to be able to accomplish all those goals. I didn't think I was smart enough to get into medical school, but I eked my way through, and feel very fortunate that I found a passion that I love as much as my dad loved hockey.
And the passion is to be a radiologist. We all know that word, but what do radiologists do?
Not much. No, I specialize in sports medicine imaging, so do a lot of readings of MRIs of the knees and shoulders and other body parts on athletes to help them to get back to their full potential, which is a lot of fun for me. So I help my family a lot to kind of get through all their war wounds. Radiologists, most of us do general radiology as well. So we'll read emergent scans of the head, chest, abdomen, pelvis. If you're in a car accident, I might be the guy behind the curtain that's making a diagnosis for all your injuries.
Speaking of helping people in tough times, let's go back 31 years. August 16th, 1987, 8:46 p.m. Where were you and what happened?
Yeah, so that day I was actually on call at University of Michigan Hospitals, and someone came over to me from the ER, and they said, well, get ready because there's been a big plane crash, and there's going to be a lot of people coming in. That was the crash where over 300 people died, and the sole survivor was a little girl. She was about 3 years old, I believe, at the time. And
Cecilia Chacon.
Yes. Yes, and so when Cecilia came in, pretty much all hands were on deck through the ER, and we did all the imaging that she needed to be able to diagnose her injuries and get her to the operating room, lickety-split. And as I understand it, she made a complete recovery, which is absolutely miraculous. I mean, literally the only human being amongst 300-plus passengers. And as I understand it, was that her mom shielded her, and that allowed her to be able to sustain such an incredible a crash.
You're from Michigan. You are Michigan. You live in Ohio. The Buckeyes versus the Wolverines. What happens with you and your patients?
Well, I take care of all human beings, regardless of their university loyalties. There's a lot of Wolverines that live in our hometown, and certainly a lot of Buckeyes as well. And I appreciate the athletic talents and the academic talents of every person, regardless of which school they're from. So we root for everybody. Really, we just root for a great performance.
You mentioned at the start, Murray, that in your freshman year at the University of Michigan, the hockey coach Dan Farrell cut you.
Yes.
How did you tell Mom and Dad, and what happened?
Well, it was devastating, because it was somebody saying to me that the thing that you had wanted to do your entire life was not going to happen, and I was so choked up that I wanted to wish the remaining players good luck, but I couldn't do that. So I wrote "good luck" on the chalkboard, and then stepped out. And I said, "Wow, what am I going to do with my life?" And just kind of walked around the campus in a daze. And when I got back to my dorm, I called my mom and dad and just said, "You know, finally, there's a how that got cut from a hockey team." And they reminded me that my brother Mark actually had gotten cut as a midget from one team, so I wasn't the first. But then my mom said, "Well, you know, we at least we don't have to worry about you anymore." And that took the pressure off. And my dad said, "Well, you didn't seem like you're having that much fun with it anyway. So I'm glad that you can now pursue what you really want to do." So that really was all I needed to hear to know to be able to follow my other passions and know that I was loved no matter what.
Speaking of being loved, we're talking to Dr. Murray Howe, who's the youngest son of Mr. and Mrs. Hockey, Gordy and Colleen Howe. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasula, and we're with Dr. Murray Howe. And today, he's the head of sports medicine imaging for Toledo's Radiological Associates and ProMedica Health System. Murray, tell us about Gordy Howe, the hockey player.
Well, Gordy Howe, the hockey player, was phenomenal. I mean, that's really an understatement. He could do it all. He did so many things that I've never seen any other hockey player do. Not only was he great at passing and setting up goals, he could put the puck in the net. But of course, he was so tough that could pretty much crush anybody that came his way if he chose to. But he was also a very fair man. He was not somebody to take cheap shots at somebody, but he certainly would level the score if somebody did take a cheap shot at either him or at someone else. But also, he was such a professor of the game, such a master of understanding the nuance in hockey, that it was wonderful to watch him play, because he just controlled the ice, and he also had such an influence on the players, not only on his own club by inspiring them, but also the players that he was playing against. They were in awe of him when they were on the ice, so they gave him a little bit of extra breathing room, and there was always conversation going on the ice because they were so honored to be playing against him, be on the same ice surface. So it was a very unusual experience, just having Gordy Howe as a part of the game. I saw him do, again, so many things that I'd never seen other players do, in terms of just being so dominant and powerful over his opponents, that it was really remarkable to watch.
Your two brothers, Mark and Marty, played with him in the World Hockey League with the Houston Aeros. What was that like?
Yeah, so Mark and Marty, they actually played with Dad for 4 years on the Houston Aeros, and then for a couple years on the New England Whalers, who then became the Hartford Whalers, and then went back into the NHL. So they got to play together in the WHA and NHL. And It was obviously an incredible experience for them, and it was an incredible experience for me as the youngest son to be able to watch my brothers play with my dad. And that first season they played together was nothing short of a Cinderella story. You had this 45-year-old man who had been retired for 2 years and came back to play with my brothers. Mark was a 18-year-old rookie. Marty was 19 years old. And so you had the youngest and the oldest players. And Dad went from feeling like he was going to have a heart attack out there during the preseason to being the MVP in the league. They won the AFCO Cup. Mark was the Rookie of the Year. Marty was an outstanding defenseman, and it was just phenomenal. But the neatest part of that whole season was that it fulfilled such a huge dream for my dad to be able to play on the same team professionally with my brothers. And I think for my father, is many accomplishments as he had, I think he would say by far the one that he was most proud of was to be able to see his sons do so well and to be able to be there on the ice and watch them do that.
And now your dad is going to have a bridge named after him between Canada and Detroit, the Gordie Howe International Bridge. Unbelievable. Okay, tell us about Gordie Howe, the man.
Gordie Howe, the man, really exceeds Gordie Howe, the athlete. As remarkable as he was on the ice, he was so much more remarkable as a man. Perhaps most of all because he was such an accomplished athlete that it's hard to imagine that somebody of that level of accomplishment can be so humble. But he was really the most humble man that I've ever met. And one of his favorite sayings that I took to heart was, "Don't read your own press clippings, you'll start to believe them." And it's a wonderful way to live. And I'm reminded of it constantly whenever something great happens in my life. I just try to look back and just be grateful for the things that I've been given. So Dad was remarkable in his humility, in his generosity, in his patience. I mean, he was by far the most patient man I'd ever known. And that came in so handy because he was such a man of the people. He had constant demands on his time from the second he stepped out of our home. And he was always so gracious with everybody because he understood that his time was not his own, that his time was really that he belonged to the people, and that was his role, was to be there for them. And so he made every moment fun, no matter where we were. But you name a positive value, and I will tell you that Gordie had that. I won't call him Gordie, I'll call him Dad. The Dad had that value, and he embraced it in a way far better than anybody had ever seen.
He was a man of steel and velvet. I mean, he was as strong as... I saw him hit a golf ball 325 yards when he was 74 years old. The shoulders and neck on the man was unbelievable. But then he had this great softness about him. Where did that come from?
He was really a combination of my grandparents. My father, or my grandfather, Ab, was one of the few people that I would say was at least as tough, perhaps tougher than my father. He was not a man to be trifled with, just a huge, strong, proud man. Even when he was in his 80s, he would get into fights in the bars. I actually, one of my cousins told me a story where Grandpa Ab was in a bar in his mid-80s, and somebody ran into, bumped into the waitress. She had a bunch of drinks and knocked the drinks over. And my grandfather walked over to the gentleman and said, "You need to apologize to this woman." And he said, "Well, what are you going to do about it, old man?" So my grandfather decked him and knocked him out and then walked out of the bar. So that was my grandfather, just a very tough cookie. And I think that's where Dad got his viciousness and toughness on the ice, and also his work ethic to be the strongest and the best that he could be. From my grandmother, she was the most gentle and loving and compassionate woman that I've ever known. And Gordie Howe off the ice was really just a reincarnation of my grandmother, just a beautiful, beautiful soul. And such a wonderful, selfless person. And Dad had so much admiration and love for her that he wanted to honor her by being like her.
On June 10th, 2016, your dad heard the 6 greatest words anybody can ever hear. Well done, good and faithful servant. Murray, that's all we ever got to hear, right? That crushes them all. There were probably millions of Canadian angels up there asking him for an autograph at the pearly gates. But when Dad passed, what did the Ilitch family do for the Howe family?
So the Ilitches have been so kind and gracious to the Howe family for decades. And within an hour of Dad's passing, they personally telephoned us and offered their condolences and then said, don't worry about the funeral service and the visitation. We've got it all taken care of. We know exactly, what your dad deserves. And all you have to do is just show up. And so they converted Joe Louis Arena into a virtual shrine for Dad, and helped out with all of the logistics for both the visitation and the funeral. They spent about $500,000 out of their own pocket just to do this for our family and for the people of Detroit, and it was really a tremendous gift to the hockey world that they did that.
You and your entire family were there greeting people, and a man from Canada with the first name of Walter came up to you and said, I got a story for you.
Absolutely. So Wayne Gretzky was there. We're good buddies. Wayne and I played together for a year. And so I got to know him very well as his father, Walter. Walter's just a tremendous gentleman and a huge fan of my mom and dad and vice versa. And Walter said, I've got a great story to tell you. And, he said when the first time that Wayne met Dad, when Wayne was 10 years old and he was receiving an award as the Canadian Amateur Athlete of the Year at the age of 10 for scoring almost 400 goals in a single season, and he was one of the youngest players on the team, an incredible feat. And Wayne was there with Dad, and of course Wayne was just in awe of being there with his idol. And the master of ceremonies had forgotten that Wayne was only 10 years old, and he announced Wayne's name and said Wayne's going to come up and say a couple words. And Wayne was absolutely in a panic, and Dad saw that and just walked right up to the microphone and said, anybody that scores 378 goals in a season doesn't need to say another word. And Dad just had an incredible wisdom about him. He was a man short on words, but when he did say something, it was always something profound and something that you wanted to listen to.
We're talking to Dr. X-Ray, Dr. Murray Howe. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula, and we're with Dr. Murray Howe, the author of 9 Lessons I Learned from My Father. You were blessed, you were honored to give the eulogy at Dad's funeral mass at Blessed Sacrament Cathedral. And then, soon thereafter, you decided to write the book. Why?
Well, a few days after Dad passed away was Father's Day. And I just loved my dad so much that I always made Father's Day like it was a national holiday to me. I just wanted to make Dad realize how much I loved and appreciated him as a father and as a man. So we would do whatever he wanted to do that day, and it was always great. And the fact that I couldn't do that, that I didn't have him there, just crushed me. And I said, well, what could I still do to pay tribute to him? How could I honor him? What would be the best gift? Thought, what would be better than to just get down on paper everything that he stood for, everything that he was as a man and as a father, and share that with the world and keep his legacy of goodness and greatness going. And that was the genesis for the book.
One of the first things you notice about the book is the cover of Gordie Howe, number 9, with this little kid sitting on a bench, also number 9. Why that picture?
I love this picture. It's one of my favorite pictures ever. I've actually had it since I was 10 years old. I had it up on the mantle in my bedroom, and then after we got married, it made its way to our family room. It's one of the few photos of me as a kid in our family room. And it's just such a great memory. This was a benefit game that my mom put together at Olympia Stadium. It was a charity for the March of Dimes. We had a full house there, 16,000 people. And the concept was that the Red Wings would play against the Detroit Junior Wings. And my brothers were 15 and 16 at the time, around 1970. And we drafted my father to play on the Junior Wings side, so we had a chance. And my Uncle Vic, who was a former pro, also played. And then I was also asked to play. And so it was such a huge thrill for me to be skating alongside my dad and my brothers and my Uncle Vic. It was absolutely just an unforgettable moment. And to sit there on the bench and have Dad next to me explaining, watch this player and watch this player, you know, what they do. And next time you're on the ice, go over to that area and I'm going to feed you with a pass and boom, it'll be in the net. And just to see the master of the game explain his understanding of the game was just such a huge thrill. And of course, I scored the winning goal in the closing seconds of the game. Even though that was rigged, it was still a huge highlight of my life.
All right. Okay. Let's have you read a couple great stories. The first one from the second chapter, Live Generously.
I'd
Dr. Murray Howe.
Thank you, Jack. One afternoon, when Dad was visiting the Baskin-Robbins where my brother Marty worked, an entire baseball team streamed in. Not only did he sign every uniform, but he also treated the whole dugout to ice cream. Dad left with more than just ice cream that day. He left a priceless impression on every one of those young men, and that's how generosity works. You always come away with more than you give. If it weren't for that kind of generosity, there might never have been a Mr. Hockey. Back in the Depression, when my grandma Katie was a young mother, a neighbor appeared at the Howe doorstep. Her husband was ill and unable to work, and the woman had no money for milk for her infant. No one had much, certainly not the Howes, but this poor soul had even less. Still, she didn't want to beg. She was carrying a burlap bag filled with whatever her family could spare. She was offering it all for sale, for whatever grandmother had. My grandmother scrounged together all the money that she had in the world, which was $1.50, plus a bag full of food. The woman was eternally grateful and handed over the burlap sack. When Grandma Katie dumped it out, she saw it was mostly junk, except for a pair of hockey skates. According to family lore, my dad had to fight his sister Edna for ownership of those skates. But once they were his, the seeds were sown for the greatest career in the history of the game. Dad was 6 years old. He wore those skates for the next 4 years straight. Incredible how the good Lord repays kindness exponentially.
And from chapter 6, you talked about your dad's phenomenal humility. Chapter 6, Be Humble. One more story.
Absolutely. Part of understanding your parents comes from seeing them through other people's eyes. I knew my dad was pretty great, And it wasn't long before I realized that plenty of other people did too. But it was seeing how my father reacted to his fans' adulation that really showed me the kind of man he was. One night at Olympia many years ago, Dad had finished signing hundreds of autographs after the game. It was past midnight, and the security crew was giving my dad the signal that it was time for them to lock up the stadium. There were still 20 or 30 people waiting to talk to him. He looked at my mom and then at his remaining fans and said, "I'm really sorry. I have to go. I will see you at the next game." He headed towards the door, but the crowd followed him outside. He signed a program or two while he was walking and then said, "I'm so sorry. That's the last one." When he reached our car, he opened up my mom's door for her, as he always did, and all of us kids piled in. But just as he was about to open his own door, a little boy about my age raised his voice above the crowd. "I've been waiting for you all of my life." My dad froze halfway into his seat. He looked at my mom as if to say, "How could I drive away?" He got out of the car, signed the boys' program, and talked with him for a minute. Then he signed autographs for the remaining fans. I realize now that this is what made Dad so great and why his reputation never faded. He showed every fan, every child, that he truly cared. He showed them that he believed in them, that they were important, that they could be as great as him someday in their own way. Mom and Dad both embraced this philosophy, and they tried to pass it on to each person they met, especially their own family. Humility can be taught, by the way.
That was Dr. Murray Howe, youngest son of Mr. and Mrs. Hockey, and the author of 9 Lessons I Learned from My Father. Murray, what lessons can parents learn from your book?
Wow. There's so many lessons. I could have titled the book 999 Lessons I Learned from My Father. And most of those lessons, I think, can be applied to any parent, to any child, or anybody in between. I think they're really lessons just about being the best version of yourselves and being able to share your gifts and talents, everything that you have, all the values that you have, sharing them with others to be able to impact them in a positive way. As a parent, I think you're in a unique position to be able to influence your children in a positive way, to make them feel loved and make them feel important and encourage them to follow their passions and gifts, to be able to share those gifts with the rest of the world.
We're talking to Dr. X-Ray, Dr. Murray Howe, who's here with his wife, young enough to be his daughter, I think. And they met at U of M. Colleen. And I'm Jack Crisil, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Crisil. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Dr. Murray Howe, who everybody knows Mr. Hockey, but your mom was Mrs. Hockey. Colleen Howe, tell us about Mrs. Hockey, mom.
Wow. Well, how much time do we have? Because I could talk about her for about 12 hours. I'm a huge fan of my mom as much as I'm a fan of my father. I think Colleen Janet Howe was just one of the most incredible individuals that I've ever met. She had such a huge influence on my life. She was such a positive person. She came from the most humblest of beginnings. She was born out of wedlock to a young barmaid, and my grandfather was an accomplished musician who was there for a couple days with my grandmother. and then didn't return for 23 years. So she didn't know him growing up, but she was raised by a phenomenal woman that we call Aunt Elsie, who was basically a family friend. And Aunt Elsie just instilled in her these incredible values of being positive and of being selfless. And so Mom grew up as an incredibly outgoing person who was very positive and very she dedicated herself to others, and she passed that on to all of her kids. She was a perfect partner for my father because she was very comfortable to be out of the spotlight, but to support him in every way possible.
Everyone who meets you, first off, says, well, you can't be the Howe family. And then when they find out you are, then they all say about the time they met Dad. And they're going to tell you their story. What's the greatest such story anybody's ever told you about Dad?
There's so many, and I've actually been writing them down since I was a little kid, but especially since the time that Dad passed away. Some of the short, funny ones, many people have named their dogs Gordy or Gordy Hound or Gordy Howell after Dad. Young hockey player in our town, his middle name is Nine, after Dad. Another young man, 6 years old, was named Gordy after Dad. Obviously a huge honor. One of the neatest stories, though, came from a man who came to the funeral. He had flown from Arizona. He was originally from Detroit. And he said as a young man, he had to make a presentation at school, kind of a box presentation where you take a shoebox and you create a figure out of it. And so his father recommended that he do Gordy Howe. And he'd never heard of Gordy Howe. So as he researched my dad, he fell in love with him. And so he made this phenomenal mural of Gordy Howe, and he won all these awards in his grade 3 class for it. And they liked it so much, the school did, that they kept showing it year after year. And then this boy's mother learned that my dad was going to be up at an appearance in Flint. So the mom drove the boy up to Flint to meet his hero. And the boy wanted to show Dad the mural that he had. And it was locked up in the school. So they called the school janitor, drove to the school and got this mural. And the janitor was able to find it for him. And he brought this up to Flint. And there was a line of about 100 people waiting for autographs. And Dad saw this little boy with this shoebox presentation with this big cartoon head, and Dad said, "Is that Dino Ciccarelli? Is that or Ciccarelli that that head is? Because it looks so ugly." And and the boy said, "No, it's you." And so Dad brought him up to the front where he was signing and had him sit next to him for the next hour and a half. And everyone that would come up for an autograph, Dad would say, look at what this kid made for me. And the boy just, he never forgot it. So when Dad passed away, this young man had grown up, married, had a couple kids, was living in Arizona, and he flew back from Arizona just to tell me that story. And he just said that he's now dedicating his life as a father to be the kind of father that Gordy Howe was for us.
You and your wife Colleen had the great honor of being the caretakers for Dad in his final days. Murray, what did that honor teach you and Colleen?
Well, you know, for Colleen and I, Dad spent his last year of his life with us, and we were so honored to be able to help him to kind of live that last year to the fullest. And we knew him so well that we knew what he would like to do, which was basically still to be Mr. Hockey. So we tailored our days to getting him out there to the local hockey rink, Tam O'Shanter Ice Arena in Sylvania, Ohio. And we'd go out hiking. We'd go to the grocery store. We'd go anywhere where Dad might be seen, and especially where we'd see little kids. And then he would become Mr. Hockey all over again. He was able to dance with with our daughter at her wedding. He was able to do just a number of appearances, and he was able to learn about the bridge being named after him. So we stood on the banks of the Detroit River, and I showed him where the bridge is going to be built, and he said, "That sounds pretty good to me." And it was such a huge honor for both of us, really, to be able to share that year with him. But he gave us so much during that year, just in terms of showing us how much he appreciated every little thing that we did for him. And he was just such a great example. Even when he was so tired he could barely stand up at the end of the evening, he would still come over to Colleen and say, "Need any help?" And he would sweep the floors, and he would wipe down the counters and empty the dishwasher. He just never stopped wanting to be helpful.
You treated your dad as a doctor, and he was banged up numerous times. When you saw x-rays of the man and examined those x-rays, what did you see?
They were remarkable. Dad's x-rays were like seeing a patient who could not feel pain, somebody with leprosy or some other congenital disorder where they cannot feel pain at all. He had a talent or a gift for ignoring his pain. He didn't recognize it. So when you saw these x-rays, and when I would show them to my colleagues, they would assume it was somebody with one of those congenital disorders. And when I told them that, no, this was my father, they were absolutely stunned that somebody could still play professional hockey with wrists that were just completely crumbled and twice normal size. His shoulders, the bad arthritis that he had in his shoulders from crunching into people and from taking so many slap shots, but he just ignored it. He could hardly raise his arm out to the side, but he would still be able to get a shot off that was much harder than I could ever accomplish. Pretty much every body part on him, his knees, his cartilage was removed from his knees in his first season. Both knees, both cartilage. And he played 32 years with no cartilage in his knees, which is absolutely astounding. And finished with very little arthritis in his knees. It wasn't until he retired that he started to get arthritis in his knees. So he was truly a medical phenomenon.
It's a new year. The name of the show is Anything Is Possible. What would Dad say to the listeners tonight?
Well, first he would say is go out there and shovel that snow if there's any on your driveway or your walk. Then he would say, don't let this moment go by without making it a special memory for somebody.
And he would finish it with, and you've just listened to my youngest son, my greatest son, Dr. Murray Howe, who makes me proud every day of his life. Keep it up.
Thank you so much, Jack.
Please join us next Saturday. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohon.
Believe in yourself.